Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. Blake Ruby from San Antonio. How are you all doing? I'm doing okay, and I've got some stories to tell you about this week and today. This is what's going on in my life. Well, the last week is pretty much the same as it has been over the last almost 3 months now with the coronavirus situation. I've been teleworking in my backyard. It's been kind of slow, very enjoyable, and we've started to go back to work. We've got these different phases, phase one through four. And I've already started phase one. I'm in phase three. So I think if everything goes according to plan and there's no changes, then I'll be going back to work around the end of June or beginning of July, maybe after the 4th of July holiday. I don't know. Anyway, so everything else pretty much the same. I'm trying to move from my house because we want a bigger house. I don't know if any of you have listened to my show before. I have talked about it. And I live in a two-story, three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bathroom house here in San Antonio, in the southwest part of San Antonio. And there is my wife and I, my stepdaughter and three grandchildren, four dogs and two cats. So suffice it to say, it's pretty crowded, and we want to get a bigger house. So we went and looked at one today. We looked at some, actually, but we found one we liked. It's five bedrooms. Got a master bedroom on the first floor, four bedrooms upstairs on the second floor, for $259,000. Now, this house I've got here, I paid $142,000 for it back in 2010. So it's been almost 10 years as of September the 14th. And it's nothing fancy. And we really need a bigger house. So we went and looked at those houses today, and now I have to start the process of trying to sell this house. And I just had a tree. They call it a trash tree. It's a China berry that grew in the front yard. A seed came down, and it sprouted over the years. I think it began around 2012 or 13. And it grew to a huge size, as tall as the house is, and very wide at the base, you know. And, wow, a bird just flew into my patio here, or tried to, flew against the enclosed patio, the screen. Maybe that's a sign. I know the birds didn't want that tree chopped down. No, my wife didn't either. In fact, I got into a little bit of an argument with my stepdaughter this morning. But we made up. I said a prayer, asked God to forgive me. I apologized to her. And they went ahead and cut the tree down. The guy just left a little while ago. So I had the other two trees we've got in the front yard trimmed. And altogether came to $500. But it's going to help with the value of the house because I had a real estate agent come by. It was about a month ago because we were planning on moving to a subdivision, a community right next to us here, which was made by the same builders of our house, LGI. And my wife did a little research, and she found this place, D.R. Horton. And apparently, they're better builders than LGI. So we changed our minds about going to this. It's called Lucky Ranch, just over the field in the distance of the crow flies, maybe half, three-quarters of a mile. And so we're not going to move there. I've already put the application in for another loan. I'll see if it goes through. I worked for the Army. I served 22 years. I became a civilian in 2010. I moved here to San Antonio from Alexandria, Virginia, where I was working for the same organization but as a contractor. So I did a little over 6 years as a contractor, and then now coming up to 10 years as a civilian, this August, it'll be 10 years. Also in August, I'll turn 66, so I'll be getting my Social Security, and that'll be a nice supplement to my income. Looking forward to that. So I think I can do four more years. That's the plan, to work four more years and then retire. I'll see how it goes. God willing. So how are you out there, internet radio land. You could be all over the world listening. Hope you like my show, God is on the Sun. And you might scratch your head and wonder, why does it mean that? Well, I'll try to explain as quickly as I can, as I've done in other shows, but you might be listening for the first time. So my contention is there's co-creator gods in the universe. The Big Bang was initiated by the Supreme Creator and all the other solar systems that followed one after the other. And then when a certain amount of solar systems accumulated, then that was the completion of one galaxy. And then another galaxy began, one solar system after another. Here we are in the Milky Way galaxy in one of the spiral arms. Yes. So there is, I wanted to tell you about the four forces of the universe. And I'm not talking about what Einstein said. You know, two of them, electromagnetism and gravity. Sir Isaac Newton, of course, knew all about gravity. Einstein, he was a very fervid believer in being able to solve the theory of everything, you know, the holy grail of physics, the theory of everything. Einstein thought he could figure it out till the day he died. He had a pen and paper in his hand trying to figure out how to come up with the theory of everything. But what had happened was, after Einstein came up with his theory of relativity, theory of general relativity, there was a special relativity back in 1905. General relativity was in 1915. So special relativity talked about E equals mc squared. I won't go into the details of that. Also, nothing is faster than the speed of light. And the observer in motion will stay in motion regardless. Well, the speed of light remains constant regardless of whether or not an observer is in motion. That's it. So what else? And then for general relativity, he said basically that space is a fabric and can be warped. And the sun is actually like on a trampoline, if you will, if you can just picture that. And it displaces the space-time continuum for the other planets that revolve around the sun, right? And so that's, and gravity is a force, you know. But isn't that, and gravity is keeping everything together, but isn't that amazing when you stop and think about it, that the whole universe is held into existence by the might of gravity? It's a force, you know, it's a power. And, of course, the Supreme Creator is behind that, because the Supreme Creator is powerful beyond comprehension. So what I was getting to, going back, the Supreme Creator's plan, because in the beginning there was only darkness and silence and the Spirit, you know, the Supreme Creator. And so the Supreme Creator envisioned everything he wanted to expand and grow. Can you blame the Supreme Creator for wanting to grow? Growing is an amazing thing, isn't it? Look how far we've grown as human beings. We were babies at one time. Isn't that amazing? We can't remember too much. But then we grew up to be adults. So that growth, we're all growth masters. Every one of you out there, every human being knows about growth. And growth is what really makes the universe go, you know? It's an amazing, magical thing growth is. So the Supreme Creator wanted to envision himself in other, like, microcosms of himself, if you will, to experience that. So in his imagination, his her, because the Supreme Creator is both male and female, that's the way it is in the universe, everything is male and female, yin yang, alpha omega, positive, negative, right? That's universal law. You can't change that. So the Supreme Creator envisioned everything in his mind, in his imagination, his her imagination, and imagined all the suns and the worlds and the moons, envisioned the plant and animal life, envisioned the sentient beings that would inhabit the universe, imagined the spirits of all of that. Spirits and souls for the sentient beings, but even like a tree, for example, has a kind of, doesn't have a soul, but it has a spirit, you know. If a tree dies, then that essence, that energy force, that life force of the tree goes back into the earth and it feeds that like ocean of spirits that belongs to a planet, you know, that energy field, that energy force. So those are the four forces of the universe, my friends. Write it down. Number one, you have the creation, what created the suns, the planets, and the moons. Number two, the second force is what created the plant and animal life on all the worlds throughout the universe. Right? Yeah. You don't have any proof? Sometimes, my friends, you need to bridge that gap between belief and knowledge, but you want, case in point, that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. A flying saucer lands right next to the White House. What'd they do? They still didn't believe that it was real. And what they did, they tried to kill the guy, you know. Actually, maybe that's not such a good example, but you get my point. Sometimes you don't need to have concrete evidence to prove to yourself that something is real and something exists. Okay, so then the third force of the universe, remember? What created sentient beings? And there's thousands of beings out there, my friends. If you don't believe that, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You need to do some research. And by the way, let me just interject something right here. Tonight, okay, you got to do this, okay, please? You need to go out in your backyard between 9 and 12 p.m., look up at the stars in the sky, and think these thoughts. Universal brotherhood, sisterhood, male and female, universal law, nothing outside of that. It's either male or female. You're beginning to learn. I'm so proud of you. You're beginning to get it and break those traditional mindsets, you know, that male-dominated society. Yes, we're stronger, therefore we're smarter. No, it doesn't work that way. And there's a lot of things that we have to question, even ancient aliens. Question everything. You've seen that show, right? We question everything. We just don't take for granted what someone has taught us in the past. And you see it nowadays with the coronavirus going on and then the riots, the protests, because the world is changing. Racial discrimination will no longer be tolerated. Isn't that an amazing thing? It is. Let me take a drink of water. So there's a lot of things that are going to be happening in our future because we need to evolve, my friends. We need to evolve as a civilization. Look where we've come over the centuries. We have had a lot of wars and killings in our past. Millions of people killed violently out of anger. Extreme violence here, right here on planet Earth. And even nowadays, people are being killed violently. George Floyd, case in point. One man, I mean, millions of people were killed in World War I and World War II. That was just last century, right? So what do we have here? We have a civilization, human beings, a species in its lower evolutionary stages, my friends. And we're a part of that. So what do we need to do to change? We don't want to keep killing each other. You don't want to die. I know some of you out there think you're invincible. I've thought of that myself, and I'm getting older now, and I'm realizing I'm not invincible. I could die tomorrow. Just like that song, Dream On by Aerosmith. Dream on, dream on. Dream on. How's it going? Dream for the laugh and dream for the tears. Dream with me. Dream for tomorrow. Oh, dang, I forgot how it goes. Maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take you away. Hey, 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 hey. I'm sorry, I didn't remember the whole thing, but maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take you away. Steven Tyler said it himself. You have to believe that. Male or female, woman or man, maybe tomorrow the good Lord could take you away. And you know it's true. Come on, don't pretend that it's not. Don't scratch your head now when I'm talking to you. Try to make some sense. We're all co-creator gods in the making. You know what I'm saying? And it's true that we could die tomorrow. So what do we need to do? We need to evolve. We need to develop ourselves spiritually. Because as I said in my last show, last week I had a guest. No guest this week, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm going to have a guest on the 20th, And this woman is awesome. She is, her name is Vivian Chateau. She's an intergalactic, she's a galactic healer. Her website is infinitehealingfromthestars.com. And I've read her resume, and she sounds very awesome. So she'll be on the show in 2 weeks on the 20th to talk with us about the extraterrestrials that are out there. So as I was saying, actually two things. First of all, go out there tonight between 9 and 12, look up at the stars and say, my universal brothers and sisters out there, I know you exist because I'm a very smart person, and I know, just like Einstein knew. And because I'm very smart, I realize that the universe is too large of a place not to be teeming with life. Now, some of my fellow human beings here on Earth don't believe in it, but they will eventually. They're waiting for flying saucers to land in the backyard, maybe. Piece of concrete evidence. But we don't need that. We don't need NASA to prove that for us. They're out there. They might be listening to my show right now. Hey. That'd be cool. And there's a book called The Contact Has Begun by Phil Kraft. He was abducted by, actually they call it an unsolicited visitation, not abduction, taken aboard the spaceship, which might still be behind the moon. And it's called The Goodwill. Don't laugh. Did you know that Apollo 11, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin saw a flying saucer parked next to him when they landed on the moon on one of the ridges? It's true. Check it out on the internet. Yeah, it's true. I'm not making this up. They're out there. Millions of them. So what I was saying is Phil Kraft went aboard the spaceship and he wrote this book called The Contact Has Begun, an excellent read. He's a super good author, very funny, good humorous person, you know. He worked on the LA Times Metro desk. And he said that he was told there is an intergalactic federation of sovereign planets. And there are, as of in the 90s, probably a lot more now, 26,000 types of extraterrestrials that belong to that. Imagine. You've seen Star Wars, and I don't like Star Wars because I don't like the name Star Wars. War. I don't like the word war in a movie because, no, we need peace. We don't need war. We don't need more killing. You want to die, my friend? Are you Mr. Producer, Mr. Director? I don't think you want to die. You just want to make money, and you're taking advantage of the people that are out there that like to be entertained. But you know what? The people are getting tired of fantasy violence. With all the coronavirus, over 100,000 people killed in the United States, more worldwide, like 400, almost 500,000 worldwide, and then you're going to make a movie about fantasy violence, The Expendables, or The Terminator again? We don't want to watch those kinds of movies anymore, Hollywood. Come on. Get with it. Get real. Give us more true life stories, real life stories about people. Not killing, getting tired of killing. So silly. Come on, Hollywood. You have a big responsibility to grow the people on Earth and not give them some nonsense about fantasy killing and violence. You can't be just interested in making money. You have to do what's right for our civilization, for the future of our world, for our children's children. Those movies do not make any sense. All it does is put money in the pockets of you and the actors. It gives us garbage to put in our minds for 2 hours, which we think about afterwards, and then maybe some people go berserko and try to imitate what they saw. People getting blown away, shot, killed, nuclear holocaust, whatever. They're thinking more and more evil things all the time. So, Hollywood, please. Give us real life stories, true stories, people's lives. That's what we want. That's what we need to grow and evolve. Fantasy violence is a thing of the past. And we're seeing that now with the coronavirus and people dying left and right. Okay. It's nice out here. My patio is a beautiful day today. In the 90s here in San Antonio, but getting close to summertime, and I've been through this many, years before. And I like it. I like cold weather, too. I like the changing of the weather. How would you feel? Let me ask you a question. All you hundreds of people out there listening to my show, maybe there's not that many of you. I don't know. But I guess it wouldn't make any difference if there was a million of you out there listening. Because I'm still, reminds me of that song by Foreigner. I was inside, looking outside, millions of faces, still I'm alone, waiting. You heard that, remember that song? I'm looking out for the two of us. So let me see if I can remember that song by Aerosmith again. Sing with me, sing for the years, sing for the laughter, sing for the tears. Sing with me, if just for today, maybe tomorrow, the good Lord will take you away. You like that? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So I've got something special. I'm going to read something for you today. Now, I told you last week on my last show the name of this book. Do you remember what it was I was telling you about? It's like the best book in the world. Okay? The best book, B-O-O-K, that you can put your faith in and believe. You can think that it's true, okay? Now, I know a lot of people out there, without saying anything bad, believe in the Bible 100%. I don't. I think most of it's true, but not all of it. And I'm not going to get into the details. But this book, now you tell me, what was the name of that book? Do you remember? Oh, I'm going to have to remind you. It's called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Also called Thiaouba, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A, The Golden Planet. Now, I won't get into the details about why it's called The Golden Planet, but this is the most important, most revealing, most helping you to evolve, helping you to develop spiritually book that's out there. Take it from me. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? I'm telling you, if you want to take a huge step, one big step, kind of like Neil Armstrong stepping on the moon, one giant step for mankind, one giant step in your evolution, read that book. And then you can thank me later. Probably when we get to heaven, I'll be walking along in heaven. Somebody will come up, you know, I heard your radio show. It was June, I think, of 2020. And you recommended this book for me to read called Abduction in the Ninth Planet or Thiaouba, the Golden Planet. And I read that book and, oh, man, it changed my life. It had so much truth in it. Universal truth questions that I had were answered. It is totally awesome. Thank you so much. I love you. All right, you're welcome. It's all good. And I'll see you around in heaven. So, my friends, I'm going to read a chapter of this book to you. I'm going to try to, if I have enough time. It's called, Who Was Christ? Who was Jesus Christ? So the chapter is called, Who Was Christ? Now, this is later on in the book. These extraterrestrials are with the author, Michael Desmarquette, who passed away in 2018. May God bless his soul. May God bless his soul. He's there in the spirit lands, my friends. The spirit lands, where are you going to go? And I was explaining about God and the God is on the sun too, right? Okay, I got to the part, so let me just finish explaining that before I get to reading here. So in your body, in my body, we have a spirit, right? An astral body. When we dream at night, you ever dream before? So do you remember some of the dreams? What you see in your dreams are the eyes of the spirit, not your physical eyes, because your physical eyes are closed, dude. To death. Yes, that makes sense. Did you know that before? I just revealed something to you. You're welcome. So, we have a spirit in our body, and that spirit is made of light energy. And guess where the only source of light is? In the solar system. You got it. The sun. It's a world on fire, yeah, but it's a very special kind of fire. You never really gave it much thought, did you? Just what kind of fire that is. It's a nuclear fire, processing millions of tons of hydrogen into helium every second. But more than that, if you were to look into the sun, you would see a world made of matter, spirit matter. The spirit can live in fire. Just like, you know, as you've heard in the Bible, some bad people go down and burn in lava fire in the center of the earth, in the place otherwise known as God's jail, where there's demons and Archangel Lucifer is in charge of the demons and hell. Archangel Michael is in charge of the angels. Didn't you know that? And by the way, there is no devil. I mean, not as we know it. The devil, Archangel Lucifer, was created by God, the Creator. And that creation was perfect. And if God wanted to, God could destroy the devil. God could say, you know what, devil? I'm tired of you harassing my people, intimidating them. And you rebelled too? Oh, man. And you took some other angels with you. You know what? Boom, you're gone. Pow. I'm more powerful than you, devil. I don't want you around, but no, that's not the case, see? Not only that, but God knew in advance what God was creating, and God wouldn't create something that he would know would rebel. God wouldn't give them the free will to rebel. So what it says in the Bible, I don't believe it, and I'm entitled to my opinion, right? Did that just make sense, or did that just go over your head? Anyway, I'm sorry if I offended you, okay? You're my fellow co-creator God in the making here on earth, and you're God in the making just like me. One day you'll die, right? If you can die, you're a co-creator God in the making. And one day when you die, you'll go to heaven, maybe a hope. Or you could go down to hell. Or you could be a ghost and stay on the surface of the earth. They're usually the ones that die violently and suddenly. But if you make it to the sun, which is the third heaven, the second heaven, by the way, is above the clouds. Not quite all the way there. And then you will be in that beautiful world of color, beautiful colors, intense colors, just like Earth. But if you compare, like, remember the old Polaroid camera, the negative and the positive? The negative is like Earth. The positive is like the spirit lands. That's what I was saying. Spirit lands, heaven, same thing, the sun. God is on the sun. We have a spirit in our body. That spirit will pop out of our bodies when we die. Hey, it's not rocket science. You know, the ETs that are out there, they know that. They know all about that. They know where they're going. They know what they're made of. They know where they came from. The thing is, my friends, let me say this. When you're born here on Earth, how many can remember when you were born? Not a single person? Man, what's wrong with your memory? So, the thing is, when we're born, we existed before we were born. But on this planet, when you come into existence, when you're born on this planet, your memories of your past life are erased. You can't remember. It's called the River of Oblivion. It's like a veil. But guess what? When you die, you go to heaven, as I was saying, and then you reincarnate. You keep evolving. It's like you have to graduate from this planet with honors, dude. Do that. You can do it. You got to develop yourself spiritually, because guess what? That's why you're here. No other reason. Now, to raise a family? Yeah, well, kind of. To have a job? Yes. But the number one reason is to develop yourself spiritually. And don't forget to go out tonight and look up at the stars between 9 and 12. Universal brotherhood, sisterhood. The ETs are out there. We'll create a bond of light around the world. Okay? Please, don't forget, between 9 and 12, your time. So who was Christ? I'm glad I'm making sense, you know. I know a lot of you like my logic. It's kind of irrefutable, isn't it? I don't mean to offend. But anyway, I love reading, so I'm a good reader. Just sit back and relax, and let me read a story to you. Who was Christ? This will tell you all about who Jesus really was. And guess what? There's more than one Jesus. There's two. Here we go. You ready? This occurred during the time on the Pharaoh city, one, in Egypt. It was a time when the people of earth had all become materialistic. In Egypt, it was common in high society to take drugs, likewise in Greece. Fornication with animals was by no means rare, something which is absolutely contrary to nature and universal law. Our mission being to help, this is the extraterrestrials who are saying this, from the planet Thayuba. When it was deemed necessary, we decided to change the course that history was taking by intervening at this point. We had to get the Hebrews out of Egypt, where they could no longer evolve as a free people or under the evil domination of Egyptians. It was decided to send a man, capable and just, to lead the Hebrews from Egypt and back to the land they had occupied previously, that is, soon after their arrival on Earth. On the planet Nexiti, a planet of the eighth category, which is like one of the most highly evolved, a man by the name of Exotin had just died. His astral body was waiting to be reincarnated on Thayuba, the ninth category, when it was put to him that instead he might be the liberator of the Hebrews. He agreed to this and went to Earth as Moses. Let me just check too much power down my phone, 632, 19%. Okay, we're good to go, my friend. Moses then was born in Egypt of Egyptian parents. His father was the equivalent of a sub-lieutenant in the army. Moses was not born a Hebrew. That is yet another error in the Bible. The story of the little Hebrew baby set adrift in the water and rescued by a princess is very romantic, but incorrect. What a shame, this is Michael, the author. I always loved that story. It's quite wonderful, like a fairy story. Fairy tales are indeed very pretty, Michael, but you must concern yourself with the truth, not fantasy. Promise me that you will only report what is the truth. So when he gets back to Earth, you know, he can write this book. Of course. Have no fear, Thayo. That's the name of the ET, Thayo, T-H-A-O. Your instructions will be followed to the letter, so to speak. I was explaining then that Moses was born in an Egyptian military family. His father's name was Lephotes. Until the age of 10, Moses played often with the Hebrew children. A pretty and amiable child, he was popular with the Hebrews' mothers, who indulged him with offerings of sweets. In turn, they won his heart, and he came to love his Hebrew friends like brothers. This is why he was incarnated, of course, but you must realize that after having seen his life as Moses flash before him, and after accepting to live that life, all details of it were erased from his memory, just like I was saying. He passed through what certain Nagas have called the river of oblivion. This happens whether one accepts or rejects the possible reincarnation. Of course, there is a reason for it. If, for example, you remember that around 40 years of age, you would lose your wife and two cherished children in a car accident, and that you yourself would be confined to a wheelchair, the knowledge could tempt you to take your life rather than face up to your troubles, or it might lead you to behave badly in other spheres. So the film is erased, just like I was saying, in something like the way you wipe out a tape recorder. Occasionally, by accident, the machine does not erase everything, and you can hear brief portions of what should have been erased. Of course, my analogies are fanciful when I speak of films and tape recordings, but I hope they give you an idea of what I'm trying to explain. In reality, the process involves electrophotonics, which mean nothing yet to people on Earth. This, in fact, occurs often in the films that the higher self shows to an astral body, which is why most people say on several occasions in the course of their lives, I have seen that before, or I have heard that before, and they know what the very next action or word will be. In English, people call this feeling deja vu. Yes, I understand well what you are saying, said Michael. The strangest such experience that I have was when, let me fast forward here. Let me take a drink of water because that mouth is getting a little bit dry. Okay, so I'm going to fast forward a little bit here to, okay, yes. Okay, here it goes again. Now that you are following my meaning, Michael, I'll finish the story, which is going to interest so many of your fellow men, insofar as the Bible has distorted it a little. So our angel implanted an embryo so that Mary, a virgin, found herself pregnant. Also wanted to tell you a little bit about Moses here, because I had started telling you about Moses. So all the miracles, basically, that went on during Moses' time, I won't go back to that, but suffice it to say that the extraterrestrials were behind everything, to include parting the Red Sea and the burning bush, and, you know, all the things that went on to get the Hebrews out of Egypt. So now, that's part of the same. This was still part of the chapter, who was Christ. So, Mary was artificially inseminated by these extraterrestrials. Let's continue on. By acting in this way, we hope to attract the attention of the people and emphasize that the coming of Jesus was really a remarkable event. On the birth of the child, we appeared before the shepherds in the same way that I demonstrated a few moments ago. We did some really cool stuff, you know, going around the room, disappearing and appearing again. These extraterrestrials are so evolved and advanced spiritually and technologically that they can do amazing things. We didn't send the three famous wise men. They are part of the legend that has been grafted onto real events. However, we did guide the shepherds and a group of the people towards the spot where Jesus was born. This was accomplished by sending forth one of your spears and rendering it luminous. Therefore, the star of Bethlehem, right? Did you ever give that much thought before? It was an extraterrestrial probe by these ETs. The optical effect thereby created made it indeed resemble a star over Bethlehem. Nowadays, if we were to do such a thing, people would be crying, UFO! Eventually, the priests. And those who the priests, named prophets, learned of the birth. In view of the phenomena of the star and the angels, the prophets announced to the people the birth of the Messiah, referring to him as the King of the Jews. King Herod, however, had spies in all quarters, as most leaders do. When they reported these remarkable events to him, he found it all difficult to understand and became frightened. In those times, the lives of the people were worth very little to their leaders, and Herod had no qualms about ordering the deaths of 2,606 babies in the region. While these deaths were being carried out, we evacuated under hypnosis Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, as well as two donkeys, in our spaceship, depositing them in a spot quite close to Egypt. You see how the facts have been distorted? Now, there are other details which were reported conscientiously, but they are inaccurate due to lack of information. Let me explain. The baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, proved by the miracles pertaining to his birth that he was quite special and was, in fact, the Messiah. And let me just interject something there. Did you know that the baby that was born in Bethlehem didn't perform any miracles at all? And even when he grew up to be like 12, 14 years old, and then he left, I'll explain here, I'm going to continue reading here, he still hadn't performed any miracles. So let me continue reading. So we had captured the imagination of the people. Well, when a baby is born in astral body, its astral body cannot know all in regards to its previous knowledge. This was the case of Moses, too, and yet he was a great person. We required a messenger who would be able to persuade humanity that there was another life beyond this one through reincarnation of the astral body, etc. This was no longer commonly accepted, since civilization on Earth had become more and more degraded following the disappearance of Atlantis. You know that when you want to explain something that is not a material fact, even to your closest friends, you are confronted by skepticism. People seek material proof. If they don't see it with their own eyes, they won't believe. In order to transmit our message, we needed someone who behaved like an extraordinary being, like someone coming from the heavens who performed what would appear to be miracles. Such a person would be believed, and his teachings would be listened to. As you know, an astral body being reincarnated as a baby passes through the river of oblivion, and his early material knowledge is effaced. Therefore, the child born in Bethlehem would not have been able to perform miracles even if he lived up to 100 years of age. However, he was a superior being like Moses, an advanced soul, right? This is proven by the way he astonished temple doctors at the age of 12. Like the very young people now on earth who are called geniuses because they seem to have a calculation in their heads, Jesus was a human being inhabited by a highly evolved astral body. And yet, even if he studied in the very advanced schools on earth amongst the Nagas, for example, he never could have acquired the knowledge to revive the dead or cure the sick. I know that on earth there are people who believe that from the age of 12 until his return to Judea, Jesus studied in the monasteries of India and Tibet. This is how they try to explain the gap that exists in the Bible when Jesus simply disappeared from Bethlehem. He left his parents' home at the age of 14, accompanied by his 12-year-old brother, Yuriki. He traveled to Burma, India, China, and Japan. His brother accompanied Jesus everywhere until Yuriki was accidentally killed in China. Jesus took a lock of Yuriki's hair with him, for he loved him very much. Jesus was 50 years of age when he arrived in Japan, where he married and had three daughters. Finally, he died in the Japanese village of Shingo, where he had lived for 45 years. He was buried in Shingo, which is on the main island of Japan, Honshu. And beside his tomb is another, containing the little box holding Yuriki's lock of hair. Check it out on the internet, my friends. Those of your fellow men who lack evidence can go to Shingo, formerly known as Hiray, in the district of Aomori. But let's get back to our precise mission in this regard. The only messenger we could send to Earth had to be one of us. The Christ who died on the cross in Jerusalem was called Arioch. He was brought by us to the desert of Judea, having volunteered to change his physical body. Thus, he abandoned his hermaphrodite body, the ET body, 9 feet tall, which had lived some considerable time on Thiouba, and took on the body of Christ, created for him by our Thiouli. Okay, kind of like in Avatar, the movie Avatar, the way they created the blue bodies, you know, right? Oh, remember that? Awesome, huh? Yeah, so now you realize that's possible. Create a human body like that. You create a blue body, you can create a human body, right? By doing so, he maintained totally the knowledge he possessed on Thiouba. And so Michael asks, why couldn't he have remained in his body and simply reduced in size, as Latoli and Beoster did in front of me? That's one thing they're able to do also, these ETs from Thiouba. They're able to reduce their bodies, and they can regenerate their own cells too. Yes, it's not science fiction, my friends. That's God. I mean, that's a higher level of God thinking, you know, a higher level of God truth. So carrying on here. There was another problem, Michael. He had to resemble a human being from Earth in all respects. And since we are hermaphrodites, we couldn't risk the Hebrews noticing that this messenger from God was half female. We can regenerate a body at will, which is why you have seen so few children on Thiouba. We can also create a body, as I have just explained, and we can reduce it in size. Don't look at me like that, Michael. I realize this is difficult for you to assimilate all this and to believe what I tell you, but we've already revealed enough for you to know that we are capable of mastering most natural phenomena. Jesus, who came from Thiouba, was taken by us into the desert, and you know what follows. He knew that he would come up against numerous difficulties and that he was going to be crucified. He knew all, for he had previewed his life with us, and he had done so as an astral body and a physical body. That's the difference. He remembered, just as you will remember, and always remember your journey to Mu. He went back in time to the continent of Mu, Lemuria, in the Pacific Ocean. That's another part of the book. It's an awesome book, my friend. Buy it. And the glimpses of your previous lives. The visions, I repeat, seen by astral bodies and physical bodies are not erased in the way that visions seen by astral bodies with the higher selves are. Thus, he knew all and knew exactly what to do. Of course, he had the power to resuscitate the dead, cure the blind, and the deaf. And when he was crucified and dead, we were there to take him away and revive him. We rolled the stone from the tomb, quickly took him to our spacecraft, which we positioned nearby, and then revived him. At the right moment, he appeared again, thereby providing his immortality, showing that there was indeed life after death, and regenerating hope among the people by persuading them that they did belong to the Creator, and that each of us possesses a spark of his or her divinity. So Michael then asked, so all his miracles were performed in order to prove that what he preached was true? Yes, because the Hebrews and Romans would never have believed him if he hadn't proven himself. There was a very good example of the strength of skepticism among people on earth regarding the Shroud of Turin. Although many believed in the coming of Jesus and Christian religions, they were anxious to hear the results of research by experts into whether or not the Shroud covered Christ after his death. You now know the answer to this. However, people seek proof and more proof and still more proof, for doubt still exists in their minds. Buddha, an earthling who acquired his understanding through his own study, did not say, as your fellow men do, I believe, but rather, I know. Faith is never perfect, but knowledge is. When you return to earth and tell your story, the first thing you will be asked is for evidence. If we were to give you, for example, a piece of metal which doesn't exist on earth, there would always be one among the experts who analyze it who would insist that you prove the metal was not created by a clever alchemist of your acquaintance or some such thing. Michael says, will you give me something as proof? Michael, don't disappoint us. You will have no material proof for precisely the reasons I have just explained. There would be no point. Faith is nothing in comparison with knowledge. Buddha knew. And when you return to earth, you too will be able to say, I know. There is a well-known story of doubting Thomas, who wanted to touch Christ's wounds, for seeing him with his own eyes did not convince him enough. And yet, when he touched them, he was still doubtful. He suspected some kind of magic trick. You know nothing of nature on your planet, Michael. And as soon as something occurs which is a little beyond your understanding, everyone claims it is magic. Levitation equals magic. Invisibility equals magic. And yet we are only applying natural laws. Rather, you should say, levitation equals knowledge, and invisibility equals knowledge. So Christ was sent to earth to preach love and spirituality. But he had to contend with people who were not highly evolved, speaking to them in parables. When he tipped over the merchants' tables at the temple, angry for the first and only time, he was making a statement against money. His mission was to impart a message of love and goodness, love one another, and also to enlighten the people in regard to the reincarnation of astral bodies and immortality. This was all distorted by priests. In the time that followed, and numerous disagreements led to the rise of the many sects which claimed to follow the teachings of Christ. Christians throughout the centuries have even killed in the name of God. The Inquisition was a good example, and the Spanish Catholics in Mexico behaved worse than the most savage tribes, all in the name of God and Christ. So there it is, my friends. And he goes on to say, religions are a veritable curse on your planet, as I have said and as I have proved. As for the new sects that are springing up and flourishing all over the world, they are based on control by brainwashing. It is terrifying to see young people, healthy in body and spirit, throw themselves at the feet of charlatans claiming to be gurus and great masters, when the latter are masters of only two things, talking and collecting fabulous sums of money. Okay, that's all I'm going to read. Did you hear a word I said? I'm just messing with you, okay? Thank you for listening. How much time do we have here? Just got about four more minutes, my friend. Well, so what are you going to do tonight between 9 and 12? And forgive me if I didn't read that perfectly. I've got the sun here in my eyes as I was reading this book. Okay. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you. Is it a good job? Thank you very much. So you think I'm a good reader? Thank you. I'll read some more on another show in the future. So going back over, no guest, next week, next show, next Saturday, I'm going to ask anybody that wants to call in can do so. We can talk. No arguing, though, okay? If you start making no sense to me, then I'll just ask that we go to the next caller, okay? So be respectful. Be polite. Next week. Okay, call in if you want to. Tell me what you know, because I'm willing to learn. I need to learn. I'm always learning. But I'm going up to another level, you know. I need some real good stuff, you know. Give me some near-death experiences, people that talk to God, who saw angels, who got some great messages, people who were abducted, who talk with extraterrestrials. They're out there. Yes, they are. So if we were to make contact with extraterrestrials, my friends, the world would be better in two big ways. First of all, they would share their technology with us, and we would be exploring other solar systems and other galaxies, too. Now, how does that sound? I mean, you like Star Trek, right? You like watching Star Trek, and even though I don't like Star Wars, you like that, too. There's a lot of movies about interstellar travel. You have that spirit of exploration in you. I know you do. But the other thing is, they would know how to cure diseases. Viruses like the coronavirus, gone. Cancer, gone. Heart disease, gone. They would know, they would tell us, hey, human beings, don't you know, we can see what you're doing wrong. You're doing this, you're eating that. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing this. You got to stop doing that. They would tell you. They tell you the truth, you know. And then they would have some medicine that can get rid of bacteria and viruses. So, believe. It's like you believe there's a spirit in your body, my friend, and a soul, which is the brain of the spirit, that has memory of your past lives and has access to universal knowledge. Just like there's a spirit in your body, the ETs are out there too. And they know what's going on. Presently, there's about 50 to 60 different races that have either intervened in the past or are presently interacting with us. They can change your bodies to resemble human beings. They have that technology, just like an avatar, you know. That was created in 2009, you know, that 11 years ago. It took them 10 years to make that movie. And the next one that's coming out is like in 2021, I think. And then there's one, there's a couple more after that. There's going to be like four avatars altogether. And that's an amazing movie. Avatar, I think, might have been surpassed by a movie in the recent past, but that sold like over $1 billion worldwide. They're really good in sales. And why? Because it was a very well-made movie. The actor is John Cameron, I think. I'm not the director, it's John Cameron, not the actor. So John Cameron is just a great, wonderful director. So shout out to my son, Bryce. He lives in L.A. Shout out. Oh, I see a hummingbird. There's a hummingbird in the tree right outside here. One of my little buddies, he comes by. Sometimes he sits, but now he's looking at the tree, our plum tree, and it's almost dead. No flowers. I'm sorry, hummingbird. I don't know what happened. If you could restore some life in it, that would be great. The plum tree is almost dead. The leaves are coming off. It's a beautiful little bird, hummingbird. Isn't the hummingbird amazing how they can flap their wings so fast? And then our peach tree. They give us peaches every year, like 1,500 peaches this year. No peaches. It's half dead. Still hanging on. I got a tree expert out here to look at my trees. And it's being eaten up by insects. So I've been using insect spray. I need to buy some more. I was going to go to Home Depot today, but I'll wait until tomorrow. some of my friends. I'm almost out of time. Let me just say a prayer. Let me teach you, if I may, something I learned, okay? You know where I learned this from? A movie called A Christmas Carol. There was a little boy in A Christmas Carol. What did he say? He said, "May God bless us, everyone." That is the most powerful prayer in the world. I mean, you can go individually. May God bless Mr. Trump. May God bless Ms. Pelosi. May God bless Doug, BBS Radio. May God bless Don. May God bless Blake. May God bless you out there. May God bless Vivian. May God bless the ETs out there. May God bless this person, that person, my family, all the family members, members of Congress, all the preachers out there. And don't get me wrong, you know, even though what I read talks about how some religions don't have all the truth, you know, because there can only be one truth with all these different religions, you know. There can't be all these different truths. There's only one truth, and that's universal truth. But there are good people. There's a lot of good people out there. T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, you know, just to name a few. Now, I wouldn't put all my faith in them. I've listened to them before, and they get kind of carried away. And what did I say that their masters are doing? Talking very well and collecting huge sums of money. So God is, you know, the creator. I was in the process of explaining. I think I can finish it up here in just a few seconds. So you have the supreme creator, and then you have co-creator gods, mother and father gods of solar systems who live on the sun because their spirits live in the fire. Spirits can live in the fire. They live on the sun. And one day, too, you, too, once you ascend through that process of evolution, one life to another, reincarnating, evolving, going from the higher to the lowest to the highest category, until one day you're ready to be a co-creator God, then you too can have your own solar system, your own sun, your own planets, and your own millions of children. How do you dig that? Can you dig it? You might say, that sounds kind of wild. That sounds like a fantasy. No, but I submit to you, it's the truth, believe it or not. But aren't I a logical person? I'm doing my best to bring heaven to earth. And I want, in my lifetime, God willing, to have contact with extraterrestrials out there. That would be nice before I die, to know that we have made contact with them throughout the world. And once that happens, then we are safe. We are good to go, and we won't need nuclear weapons anymore. All those thousands that are out there where we could be dead or dying in a few seconds if they were released, my friends. I'm not a warmonger at all. I'm just saying they're out there, and they're dangerous in as much as we could use them, you know. And we don't want that. I mean, our astral bodies, our spirits will continue to exist. But it would be a bad mark on our lives and on this world if we don't rise above the hatred and start to love each other. And you see, there's a lot of love going around nowadays. You know what? Even with all these protests and riots going on, there's a lot of good people out there. I see a lot of love. Policemen joining hands with the protesters. You know, there's some bad stuff too, like the police that shoved the one guy and he fell down and hurt his head. His head started bleeding. This policeman who body slammed a woman, you know, that stuff goes on. But for the most part, I think there's a lot of dialogue between the police and the protesters, you know. They're talking about it on news. We watch CNN all the time. I changed my mind about them. There's a lot of good people trying to make things better. We need to unite the United States of America, not divide it anymore. We don't need any bad rhetoric from any of our leaders. We don't need bad words. We don't need name-calling. We don't need unkindness. We want more handshaking, even though, you know, excuse me, got to be careful shaking someone's hand. Like when Mr. Trump at the State of the Union address didn't shake Nancy Pelosi's hand. And then she ripped up his speech. No more of that. Come on. I mean, the welfare of the people is what the Constitution talks about, not the competition between the Republicans and Democrats. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? The welfare of the people. We the people, my friends. And how much time do I have, Doug? Doug, you out there? I got 7:01. Well, so what is the most powerful prayer, ladies and gentlemen? May God bless us, everyone, everywhere. Please, God. And you got to also know what God looks like, right? Mother and Father God in heaven, they're beautiful spirits. In fact, their light shines so powerfully, it behooves each and every one of you to develop your own soul's light so you'd be able to withstand the glory and brilliance of their light when you come face to face with them on that one day in the future. And you will know that either you succeeded or failed before you left this life at increasing the light of your soul, which can be done in so many different ways, by acts of kindness, by listening to Blake Ruby's show, God Is Under the Sun, by listening to all the other CBS radio channels and shows. And you know what? You can also get your own show. It's a great way to improve your public speaking and say what's on your mind, express yourself. So do that. Contact Doug. It's your own show, because I know you're passionate about what you believe in. We need you to help, not just me. There's so many other people out there, so many advanced souls, so many souls who want to increase their learning. Okay, I'm out of time. So may God bless us, everybody, everywhere. I love you, and talk to you next Saturday. Take care. Bye-bye.